We started meeting as a federation before this happened, but from Wednesday on, there was a meeting every day at the federation office. We put together a plan of province-wide escalating job action, which would just show this government how serious we were. On Friday, workers were responding across the province. Sawmills and plywood mills started to shut down. Hydro workers walked off the job and joined picket lines. Thousands upon thousands of municipal and school board and workers walked off the job. BC Rail, by the weekend, BC Rail was shut down. Port facilities were coming down, smelters went far behind. We were turning up the heat, and the government knew it. We weren't only sending a message to the bosses, not just the healthcare bosses, but we were sending a message to bosses of big industry. You're not getting away with this. Go tell your friends in government you've got a problem. We made sure they knew they were not just taking on healthcare workers, that you're taking on the labor movement. That's what was necessary to push back this government, and that's what happened. Oh yes, ending this dispute was tough. Yes, thousands of jobs were saved, and they were really saved. And $25 million was won for those already displaced, and there was no retroactivity or retribution against healthcare workers for their legal actions. The HU's provincial executive made a tough decision on Sunday night. They thought not only about how far they had gone and what they had won, but also about the sacrifices of thousands of BC workers. Healthcare workers had set the bar higher, and the labor movement had responded. Let me say, for those of you who had organized to go out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your commitment to take action, absolutely. Movement, but when we said that more was going to come, they knew more was going to come. I want to thank you so much for what you've done. Sure, there's going to be a lot of debate about what happened in this dispute and how we could have done a better job. We've all thought about that. We've all thought about how we could be more mobilized, how communications on the last day were not right, and we have things to worry about. Let's have the debate. It makes us stronger, but it should never diminish the solidarity shown by this proud movement on those days and the solidarity with healthcare workers. The question isn't how far we should have gone the last time, but how far we're going to have to go the next time, sisters and brothers. Because let's be clear, there will be a next time. And let us make this message of this convention to Gordon Campbell and the Liberals and to employers in this province, that if you go out and take on another one of our affiliates and try to take them apart, we will all be standing shoulder to shoulder with them, and you will not get away with it. Clear, we're fighting to stop privatization as if it works somehow for them. Do hospitals, are they cleaner?
No.
Hospitals are dirty. Patients are mistreated. Surgery waiting lists are skyrocketing. Hospitals and long-term care beds have been cut. The list goes on and on and on. They are making a mess of the health care we all depend upon. It's not just firing the workers who do the job and disrespecting them. It's not putting in the proper resources. It's privatizing the services in other ways as well. At a recent meeting, a young organizer stood up and talked about why he was fighting to defeat Gordon Campbell. He talked about his grandparents that had been together for over 50 years in a Burnaby long-term care facility. And now, you know what? Because of the change in the system, the grandfather has to move to Langley. Shame. Absolutely right. This is not how we intend to treat our seniors in this province. The fight for decades to win public, the fight to win public health care took a long time. That's the reason Gordon Campbell has the lowest popularity and Thomas Douglas is the most popular person in this country. But let's be clear, in this room today, we got it right. We know it takes a hell of a public health care system to make this a healthy province, and we're going to continue to fight to stop the privatization of all health care services in this province so every British Columbia has a right to a decent health care in this province. I know it feels like you're picking on health care workers someday, but this kind of monster privatization goes right across the board. In education recently, we revealed a secret school board memo. What did that say? It said that they wanted to contact out the services and amalgamate the school board services. What's so scary about the plan is that in this document, even the trustees admit, and I'll quote, this is what they say about contracting out, even though they want to do it. Contracting out is not a panacea that has lured many organizations, into a position where they have lost control of standards and have no ability to recapture control. They go on to say what we say. Contractors make money by lowering wages and increasing workloads to a point where the quality of service suffers. That's what we know. Now they're saying the same thing. But the document also reveals why they're looking at doing this very thing they think is wrong. Maybe this says it all. There is little argument that resources within the education sector have been eroded to a level where the provision of quality education is at best difficult and at worst virtually impossible. These are the trustees in charge of our education, admitting that Gordon Campbell has robbed this education system of the funding that's necessary to make it possible to have an education for our kids. Let us be very clear. Let us understand that these trustees have it backwards. It's not about going out and taking the money out of the pockets from the people who deliver the services that's going to save the system. It's going to Gordon Campbell and the Liberals and saying, put the money in that's necessary to run the system. That's what this is all about. It's about 114 schools closed down. It's about 3,000 teachers laid off. It's about fewer teachers, less student support, and not enough textbooks to go around. But you know, it's a battle that goes on. And last year at this convention, we heard from the teachers about their college. We heard how the government had ripped up the rules and had taken it over, and it was a democratic college before. They weren't allowing teachers to be on it. And you know, I gotta say that this year I can stand here and honestly say that the education minister, Christy Clark, who didn't want to bend on that issue, I'm pleased to say she's gone. Pleased to say that the government bent on this issue, and now there's a majority of elected teachers on that school, on the college, where they belong. And thank you very much for putting up that fight. Congratulations. Not all of us can go to University College. Some of us have kids that don't want to go there, or can't go there for whatever reason. Or maybe they want another career. Maybe they want to get a trade. Maybe they want to be one of the thousands and thousands of British Columbians who got a trade. We know that investing in BC's youth is the only way to go forward. They don't seem to know that in Victoria. We used to have a system, it was called ITAC. It was built by labor, government employers, and post-secondary institutes. They wiped it out and replaced it with a deregulated model, industry training authority, they call it. How is that new model working? Well, again, these documents keep coming our way. The ITA document last week had some very interesting admissions in it. The ITA admits they lack the internal capacity to develop, implement, or maintain programs for our young people. Well, you know, duh, if you cut the staff from 140 to 18, what do you think happens? You can't do your jobs anymore. And you know, the other thing goes on to admit, there's no coherent provincial picture of training, supply, and demand. Aren't these the people supposed to be in charge of it? And they don't know what's going on. Sisters and brothers, what's their answer? What's the employer's answer? Water down the standards, lift the retirement age, and steal the skilled trades we can't do in British Columbia from other countries that can't afford it. This is a shameful example. But I also want to say that we have an alternative. And if they choose to listen to the labor movement that we released last week, which you'll be discussing, and you know what this says? This says that if we put our minds to it, we have the answers. There's 5,000 apprentices in the union system right now, and that if they put the money in and let us at the table, we will not only have 15,000 apprentices, we will double that number to 30,000 in the next 4 years. That's a dream we can get behind. It's not just our skills they don't respect. They actually have, as you heard earlier, no respect for our lives. 219 workers died last year. 5,292 workers have permanent injuries. 9 young workers were killed between the ages of 15 and 24, were killed on the job in British Columbia. This is not anything to celebrate. This is shameful. All of it under the guise, this is what we're living with at the WCB. New flexible regulations. Earlier this year, we revealed leaked correspondence showing the BC Liberal plans, no surprises, to strip WCB of enforcement capacity in the oil and gas industry, to turn it over to another agency. And that's what they wanted to do in one of our most dangerous industries in the province. A month later, when a high-placed WCB official was asked, what happened to this plan? He responded sarcastically, well, I guess the Federation put an end to that. You bet we did. Because we know protecting workers is not red tape, it's a basic right. And we are fighting back. We are doing an incredible job at the Federation. We have trained in the last 24 months over 2,000 OH&S activists. 2,000 people who now know more about their rights. We have trained close to 30 young people who came and spent a week to be instructors in health and safety programs in our schools and to talk about why unions are important. And let me tell you, I'm really excited to say that in the last year, 7 months, we've reached out to over 10,000 high school students in this province, and in the next year, we're going to double that number. Thank you to those young people who are doing that job for us. More and more, this government sides with employers. You know, let's be clear, we can't just judge the success of the labor movement by the number of people who have won decent wages and benefits and respect on the job. We must also truthfully judge ourselves by the number of workers who do not have those decent wages and benefits. Vulnerable workers who face virtually no employment standards right now. Vulnerable workers who want to organize a union to find out the labor codes have been changed so employers can get involved in telling them what to do and threatening them. It's an enormous struggle we're facing in this province to keep growing, because if we don't grow, we go backwards. And I want to take a moment just to thank all the people who call themselves organizers in this union movement and go out there and organize those new workers. Thank you very much for the job you're doing. I want to turn my mind to the future and our thoughts to the future here. We can do better. We must do better. We can build a province where everyone matters, where rights have meaning, where disparity is extinct. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a hell of a lot of work. Are we up for the fight? Yes. Let's hear that again. Are we up for this fight, folks? Yes. Let's be clear what we're up against. They've got millions of dollars. They're spending taxpayer ads. They're threatening people. They've got more corporate bucks than you can imagine. But you know, a reporter said to me today, okay, Jim, how big's your war chest? This is always the big question, you know. And I looked her in the eye and I said, well, our war chest is really big. It has 500,000 people in it. And that's our war chest, sisters and brothers. Pundits would believe, have us believe, we can't beat Gordon Campbell. 77-2, it's an impossibility. I have 3 words for them. Surrey Panorama Ridge. More words, Jagrup Bra, who did a great job as being our new NDP MLA. Thank you for running and doing that job. You know, it wasn't like they ran away from the fight. They spent, I can't imagine how much taxpayers' dollars trying to win this one. They even offered to build a whole new bridge. The employers ran their ads. They did a lot of things. But you know, it wasn't good enough. They were soundly defeated by a grassroots campaign that knew that Gordon Campbell isn't working for British Columbians. After the results poured in, did he acknowledge why people won't vote for him? No. He played the classic blame game. He tried to blame the Indo-Canadian community. And when that didn't work, he went back to blaming big labor. Now, I have to admit, we were active in Surrey. And why the hell wouldn't we be? There are more than 4,000 trade unions, folks, that live in that riding. And let me just say, so there's no illusions, we're going to be even more active in the coming weeks and months, because we're going to reach out to every one of our members and make sure they understand the choices facing British Columbia, that they understand the connection between a ballot box and a paycheck, and between their communities and safety and education and healthcare. Yes, we're guilty of being political. But also in this room, let me say, we're not political to give up the power of the labor movement or to give it to anybody else, no matter what political party. We're political so working people have more power and better lives, more power to organize, more power to bargain, more power to ensure a decent public education system and public health care system, more power to demand safe workplaces and respectful employers, more chance so that our children's dreams of better lives and better places have equal billing with the dreams of the wealthy. We are launching the largest grassroots campaign in the labor movement's history. It's called Count Me In. Your federation's political action strategy will be put to the test. It's not based on money, it's based on people, and we can win the next election if we dare to win the next election. I was in Princeton the other week at a meeting. We sat down with local activists, about 10 or 12 of us, for dinner in Princeton, talked about the election. We went off to a public meeting afterwards. There was 50 or 60 people there. Half of them signed up to join up with the campaign to defeat the Liberals. The challenge for the labor movement and for the activists is to open the door to let those people in, because people do want to become part of this fight, and they do want to be successful. And let's be very clear, we're running to win in Princeton and other communities, so we will organize those committees. From Prince Rupert to Fernie, Nanaimo to Fort St. James, in every community, inter-union committees will be organized. You all got a dot. That dot says you're going to a meeting. We're going to work together like we never have before, because we have to mobilize our members to win this debate, this election. It just has to be done. And the reporter said to me today, but after Carol James wins, I said, well, that's a good start. After Carol James wins, is your battle over? And I said, absolutely not. Let's just say if we defeat the Liberals and elect Carol James, then all that work we're doing in the next 3 or 4 months is going to continue, and if it doesn't, we've made a serious mistake. The folks on House Street, the privatizers, all those folks aren't going away. We need to be organized and active no matter what government's in power to demand labor agendas get implemented. And that's our challenge. I want to end by thanking you for the confidence you've shown in the Federation, for the struggle you put up in the last year, and also for the struggle we're going to put up in the next year. Our job this week is to leave this convention after vigorous debate, united, acting in solidarity, and ready to take action. I know we can do that. I know we can be proud of our movement, and we'll continue to be, and that we'll get the job done. Thank you very much.